Waddle and Sylvie are with you as you return to the office, just like that annoying coworker that always talks about their cat. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, Cap has weighed in on our Cubs conversation.
Oh, he has.
What's the clock, the world destruction clock? Isn't there like a world destruction clock? Like that it's like a couple minutes before midnight and yeah, it's never gone backwards.
It's a nuclear doomsday clock.
The doomsday clock. Yeah. The Cap Sylvie doomsday clock.
You said clock, right?
Yeah, it's been creeping closer and closer to midnight. Until recently.
Okay, do you mean like your guys' relationship?
Right,
okay.
like we're close to chaos, right.
You know? Guys are about to launch nuclear warheads at each other.
4 weeks ago, it was creeping towards midnight. We have backed up the clock by a good 5 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, it's gone back.
Peace talks.
Huh?
You guys have had peace talks.
We have. Yes.
That's great. You found common ground.
We have. So right now.
You decided to cut the production of nuclear warheads on each side.
But it is like the Tony La Russa clock where it is coming. I promised you this. This has been, there's been too much calm here.
Did we have a bunt issue this week?
I wouldn't call that a controversy,
okay.
But yes, like a lot of Sox fans, as they should, don't like sacrifice bunting.
Yeah.
First and second and nobody out, right? Isn't that the situation? He likes to bunt. But there will be something bigger, and there will eventually be something that grows. Cap and I further apart.
You think?
We
call that the regression theory. The same way that there's no way that Patrick Wisdom's going to hit 500 home runs this year. He will regress.
Right.
The Cubs bullpen will regress. You and Cap will fight again.
Yes, we will.
Yeah.
So he says, he texted very nicely, I agree with your Cubs point. However, go back to look up the Cubs record on July 20th, 2003. They were a 500 team who added on and should have gone to the World Series. He is correct.
Who was the starting rotation that year?
That's my point. You read my mind.
Yeah.
Like, you looked at the team and you said, we have a young kid in Mark Pryor who's dominating. We have a young kid in Kerry Wood who's dominating. We got a young kid coming up who throws electric stuff like Carlos Zambrano, and he's going to be like our fifth starter, you know? It was a great starting rotation, and their bats were the issue in 03 on how many runs could they score and everything like that. But this team, you cannot throw the guys they're throwing every fifth day
in any sort of a pennant race. Their starting rotation has not been very good to begin with. They have the collective lowest average fastball speed of any group in all of Major League Baseball. And the fastball these days is obviously as important and as talked about as anything in baseball. That rotation has become even more exposed recently when the bullpen, over at least the last couple of days, has been more shaky. Jake has not looked good, okay?
No, not at all.
Rotation is going to continue. Patrick Wisdom cannot. If you throw a fastball to Patrick Wisdom, you get DFA'd immediately.
You know what I'd say?
If you're an opposing pitcher.
I'd say if the Sox have four or five starters for a playoffs series that you would feel comfortable, whether it's game one, two, three, or four,
yes.
that you feel good, depending on which Cease you're going to get. We still don't know about him, but we talked about, as of now, Giolito,
Lance Lynn,
and then Rodon. And then you can throw
Keuchel,
who's been there, done that, and you can throw Cease.
Maybe even Kopech.
With the Cubs.
One guy, Hendricks.
There's one guy.
One guy.
I like Alzolay. Alzolay even showed you yesterday, Jesse texted me, and I know he had a blister, that he's not
Jesse
ready.
Did? Jesse had a blister?
Could have been from all the free drinks he's been drinking lately.
Right.
The
Joe West blister.
He's not ready to face that same team two starts in a row.
Oh.
Teams are going to adjust to him.
How many times also can your team have the bases loaded and somebody hit a dribbler to the pitcher and the pitcher either throws it into right field? I mean, look, last night in the first four innings of that game, there was no reason the Cubs could have even been in that game. It's like puck luck in hockey. At some point, the regression happens. So, look, ride the wave for the month of June. Don't get overly sold or overly worried about it. But it'll work itself out. I'm just telling you, if you were in Vegas, Cap was in Vegas this past weekend, and you had to put a large, amount of money down on whether or not you had two choices: that this Cubs team will play in June the way that they did in May, or that there will be significant regression based on who they are. Rotation that ranks in the bottom in terms of velocity, a rotation that probably falls in the bottom 10% or bottom third of the league, right?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it? Bottom 10. And a group that offensively, at the very least, has been propelled quite a bit recently by a guy named Patrick Wisdom and some kid named Alcantara.
These guys are replacement-level pitchers, except for Kyle Hendricks.
Yes.
And he's not even having a good year. His ERA, he's been pitching better lately, is 4.59. None of them have, like, Zach Davis has a minus .1 war. His ERA is 5. Jake Arrieta is a minus .7 war. His ERA is 5.26. Trevor Williams has a minus .2 war. His ERA is 5.36. Not one of those guys. You can't flip any of those guys for even a prospect.
Right.
How are any of those guys going to start a playoff game for you? Now, if you started with Darvish, and then you went to Hendricks, and then you were in buy mode with a third starter. Now you may have something, but that's why I can't look at the 0-3 Cubs and their record and everything like that with that electric staff and say, yes, I could compare them to the 2021 Chicago
and
Cubs.
And listen, we're just in day one of the second week of June. The ship hasn't left the dock on either side of the argument. Like, and I'm with you. That's why when Jeff said that to us last week, I was a little bit shocked. Again, it'll play itself out more so going forward. But, like, I don't think there's any confusion as to who this group really is. I think you just laid it out quite...
Yeah, and that's what
I'd be... succinctly, like, with their rotation.
And that's why the White Sox, with Aloy out,
yes,
with Robert out, and with, you know, Abreu got off to a slow start, with managerial controversy, like, everyone keeps trying to overthink this. Like, so one day it's, hey, no one's giving La Russa credit. Well, the thing is because tomorrow's momentum is the starting pitcher.
That rotation that's the reason why right now you feel great about their future.
That's why they're great. You feel great about their immediate future, their like long-term future. We'll see, like, if what they do with Lynn, he's on a free agent deal, and Rodon, you signed for the 1 year.
Well, their long-term future is more built in their everyday guys.
Right, right.
Their immediate future right now is being buoyed by their starting rotation.
And that's the thing. And that's why they're as good as they are. That's why they continue to win. You could point at a soft schedule all you want. I never penalize any team in this town for beating who they should. Go beat who they should. Nice test against Toronto. I'm not going to think that the White Sox don't have as good of a shot to win the World Series if they don't do well against Toronto like they didn't do well against the Yankees. The Yankees just got swept by the Red Sox at Yankee Stadium. Like, stuff happens. The Padres just got swept by the Cubs at Wrigley. Now things can totally turn around. That rotation, when you're going Rodon, when you're going Lynn, when you're going Giolito, when you're going Keuchel, when you can throw Kopech, if Dylan Cease could face the Detroit Tigers every single start, you'll take it. But that's why they're great, and that's why I can't look at the Cubs and say, yes, you got to hold on, even if they're only three or four games over
500. Why do I also have this feeling that sports, at least in the immediate run, has taken a turn? And I don't know that Major League Baseball is even a good – it's not a good example of this. But I've got this feeling – we saw it in the NBA – this year, and a lot of it had to do with the amount of miles on the tires for guys because of how the season was disrupted by COVID, where I felt, and we talked about this a bunch, the first half of the NBA season this year was ho-hum, that we all knew that the better teams would come to play in the second half of the season, that there was some fatigue issues earlier in the year. I just get this feeling that, like you mentioned the Yankees, and I guess to a certain degree this happens every year, but the better teams will, in fact, distinguish themselves in the second half of the season. That every team now maybe looks at a season through a different set of lenses. Whereas, I get it, it's 162, but the games, I know that everyone is, the game in April counts for the same amount as the game in August, But I get the feeling that in the world of sports, coming out of the COVID pandemic or going through it, that there is a greater emphasis placed on the second half of a season, especially with better teams. Does that make any sense at all?
Yeah, I mean, last year it was a sprint too, right? Like, is that what you're measuring it against, a 60-game schedule?
Yes.
Yeah, of course. And guys who slump like they did last year have enough games to work their way out of the slump.
Yes.
And there was pressure on, oh, we only have 60 games. What am I going to do to get out of this slump? And sometimes that made some of those slumps worse, right?
Yes.
And there was no energy from anybody in the crowd, right, and everything like that. And now we're seeing the opposite happen. We're seeing crowds build. We're seeing energy growing in all these different ballparks.
I think just for whatever reason, and maybe this is an irrational perspective, but I've just got a feeling in sports in this here and now moment that there is a second half mentality, that we are conserving at times to be prepared for the sprint. I don't know that that will be the case. I think the football season will be different this year as well.
With 17 especially.
Yes. I get the whole concept now of minutes limits and, you know, keeping something in the reserve tank. For whatever reason, I feel like it's a more relevant issue in the world of sports now than it has been in the past. It's like and again, the NBA may be a difficult analogy because of how that whole season was affected by COVID. But you look at the Knicks. What are we finding out in the postseason with the NBA? The talent, the cream rises to the top. Like, Thibs has this group working every single day for the entirety of the regular season. Once you get to the second half of the season, things change and you get to the postseason, and then that's really where talent establishes its dominance over these other teams that work hard and work well together.
Yes, yes. So you're saying, that's a long way of saying you think the Cubs are going to continue to sort of play mediocre baseball after the really good start?
I think it's a better way of thinking that that maybe the perspective of sports teams now is we're not going to get hot and bothered by things that happen in the first half of a season. We're not going to be overly concerned by it. We're really going to hit the gas when we hit the second half.
But the Brewers have done that a couple of years in the Central, right?
Right.
August and September, where you counted them out, and then they hit the gas, and then they went. All right, so
I think that's where sports teams define themselves now more than ever before.
All right, I've got the audio from an NFL insider. What does he believe when it comes to the Dalton promise? This Andy Dalton promise. The Bears have been going through OTAs, and they got mini camp coming up, and they will have media availability tomorrow. What about this Dalton promise? You'll hear from one NFL insider, and we'll qualify our second person for the City Connect White Sox jersey giveaway next.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
All right, let's do this. Let's go second qualifier here. If you're just tuning in, we're going to do a qualifier every hour for these beautiful White Sox Southside Connect jerseys. It's the City Connect jerseys, I should say. They have sold out quickly. They are a hard get right now, even if you want to spend the money on them. We're giving one away free. This is red hot.
By the way, it says Southside on the front. Adam, is there any number or name on the back, or is it just kind of...
It is just blank.
Okay.
You will just be representing the Southside.
There you go.
And no,
you could actually take it to somewhere and have your name put on it.
Of course you could.
You could personalize it for yourself, for your kid. You can, you want to choose TA, choose TA.
There you go.
You want Mercedes, choose Mercedes. You want a Bray, you go. Look, if you want a Madrigal one, go Madrigal.
That's on you, though. I mean, like, once you get the jersey, you want that done to it, that's on you at
if
your
it,
cost.
Oh, well, yeah, but if it just, was me, you know. I mean, you want it on Waddle and Sylvie. I would find a way to put Waddle and Sylvie 69 on the back. Nice.
It's terrible.
Or Waddle and Sylvie.
Those are the worst.
2-6.
That's the worst, the 1,000. The Waddle and Sylvie 1,000 jerseys.
I don't think I'd be comfortable with the Waddle and Sylvie 69 jersey. I don't know. It just doesn't feel like it would fit.
I
don't know why. I'm just thinking.
I mean, that's where you guys. I just thought it'd be a cool number.
No, I just
Long's
like,
number.
Why not just, like, I
Is he 69 this year in Kansas City?
Of course he is.
Yeah. But he wasn't with the Bears.
I know, but he didn't have the opportunity to be. Now he is. He's, of course, he. That was part of his signing bonus, I think.
Social media people were all about it when he posted
that. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
It probably was part of his contract that he has to get the number 69, right? No?
Okay, I don't know if it's part of the contract. We have Sox in Toronto tonight. Tickets available. Go to WhiteSox.com. Thanks to the Sox for providing it. Caller 36. We'll do caller 36 once an hour. Just whenever I prompt you. 312-332-3776. If you don't qualify right now, you'll have a chance to qualify in the 4 o'clock hour, then again in the 5 o'clock
hour. Do you have your money on the White Sox today?
I haven't laid out my money yet. I was bashing my head open. You know, over the weekend, I get time, and it's one of the first things I do. I like to look at the boosts.
I just got, yeah.
And I like to see what's going on. I got my 50% odds boost now refreshed on the...
You haven't decided?
Haven't decided. Okay. I mean, Rodon is going tonight. Toronto can hit, though. They're a great offensive team.
I have my profit boost invested in the over 7.5 runs of the Indians and Cardinals game.
Why? The Indians usually don't score a lot.
By the way, Bieber is pitching. It's just a gut feel. It's a gut feel.
Did you get a tip somewhere?
It's a gut feel.
What are you doing?
The Cardinals, by the way, they've lost. Didn't they lose 4 in a row at home to the Reds? So I'm thinking maybe something will wake them up. Bieber's been a little bit more hittable.
He'll wake up that.
The Cardinals didn't, I don't think, struggled to score runs against the Reds. It was them not being able to keep the Reds.
Right, but Cleveland can pitch, and Cleveland doesn't score,
well, then
right?
Don't invest your money
in
the
over here. I'm not rolling. Look, this is the time when they're going to score 18 runs tonight.
Last time I played, the total runs was in the Giants game, and I used the profit boost and made a little cash. I also have the Cubs. I have the White Sox in a 5-team parlay.
Well, wow, you're going 5-team parlay.
Just a little. I've got the Mets on the money line. I've got the Phillies on the money line. I have the Dodgers on the money line. I have over 8.5 runs in the Reds-Brewers game, and I've got the White Sox on the money line. Just a little, you know, a little something to keep it interesting.
Yeah, all right, a little baseball parlay.
A baseball parlay.
Look at you, Pete. Unbelievable.
It's legal and everyone's doing it. Why do you gotta call me Pete?
Because he would do baseball parlays probably. It's great. I was talking to Teddy Greenstein yesterday at the golf event, and it's changed the way I view sports on a nightly basis. And I'm no expert at this, but it's made it more fun for me watching sports.
I have a $5 bet on something that includes the Dodgers. Otherwise, I wouldn't give a rat's ass about the Dodgers game tonight.
It keeps me involved. Absolutely. Chris, can we play the Albert Breer from Cap and Jay Hood this morning? He had a good reaction. Every Tuesday he joins the guys. He's on SI, very well connected Monday morning quarterback. And these were his thoughts on the reports, again, that surfaced, and Dalton kind of alluded to it last week. And we'll hear from some Bears players and coaches tomorrow on the thoughts on this big Andy Dalton promise to start.
Yeah, I mean, I just tell you what I know, Hoodie. I think it's, for right now, Andy Dalton's working with the ones, Justin Fields working with the twos. Justin Fields, the plan for right now is for him to be working with the twos exclusively, and Andy Dalton to be working with the ones when we get to training camp. Now, that said, I can say that Justin Fields has fit in really well. And, you know, the feeling I've gotten from people in that building is he's really, I guess he's got a natural way about him where he's been able to fit into being a rookie. Like, he's not walking in there like, I'm the quarterback of the future. He has been humble. He's doing his work. He's got the leader by example trait. Now, nobody's going to follow a guy who's been in the building for 4 weeks at this point. But, you know, you can see the leader by example traits in him already. And that said, he's not trying to force anything. And he's not trying to take over the locker room or anything like that. And I think the way that, you know, I know the coaches feel about that, it just displays a good self-awareness. Like, he knows where he's at. He knows what he has to do right now. So that's a good sign for where he is. And, you know, I think the other piece of this, like, even though, like I said, the Bears' plan is to have Dalton take all the reps with the ones and have Fields work with the twos when we get to training camp, I also know part of the plan is to get Justin Fields a lot of snaps in the preseason games. And so, if you want to talk about whether he'll start week one, maybe that's unlikely. But, you know, if you want to talk about him, you know, giving the coaches a comfort level and starting to win over the locker room, which, you know, those are obviously are two things that need to happen for him to eventually become the starter, whether it's week four, week eight, or in 2022. You know, I think he's done the things he needs to do at this point, and he's going to have a lot of opportunity to do those things in preseason games when we get to August.
And if he flashes in those games, that's where I think then things start getting interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the whole guarantee issue is one that is surprising to me. And I wouldn't expect there to be any guarantees.
But what if there is? Like, I mean, I know we talked about it Friday.
I think it's foolish,
right?
I think it's foolish.
Like what?
So many things can happen. Haven't you learned? If you're attached to a football game, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the Bears in the front office. Enough stuff happens that you know that these guarantees are meaningless because a ton of stuff happens. Injuries happen. Maybe you give you the disclaimer, well, you're going to be our starter unless there's an injury. Well, what if you suck and the guy coming in as a rookie shows you that he's the best thing that you've ever seen since Joe Montana? Like, there are so many things that can happen.
Like, what if Andy Dalton was deciding between here in Denver or somewhere else, and they're like, look, not only will we beat their salary at $10 million, we're going to guarantee that you start at least the opener, and it's up to you to keep that job.
I
no
think
matter.
It's crazy.
Like, it's crazy.
It's
isn't
crazy because
it? Yeah.
You're making that guarantee prior to the draft. What if something happened and Justin Fields falls to you at 11 and you move up a draft team? Like, I don't know, especially in this sport, why you would ever tie yourself to a guarantee. And I don't know that guarantee has been made.
That's why it just doesn't make any sense. I want the media tomorrow. I guess I could sign into the Zoom. Maybe I'll do it.
Can I get a code on this?
Will they allow me in?
Yeah.
I will raise my virtual hand. And
I'm Ron Burgundy. I'd like to ask a question.
When does Nagy speak? At 1 tomorrow? Is that 1? I want to ask him directly. Matt, did the organization promise Andy Dalton to be the starter on opening day? That's all I want to know. Just like I want to ask Jed Hoyer, if we get Jed Hoyer on. Been requesting Jed Hoyer for a long time. Jed, are you trying to win the World Series this year?
I think they're both good questions.
Correct.
I think also there is some gray area here with regard to what the Bears could have said to Andy Dalton that wouldn't necessarily lead to a quote-unquote guarantee. They could have laid out a plan to Andy, said, look, here's the deal. You see our quarterback situation. We're going to have to find a quarterback in the draft. Right now, we believe in you. We're going to give you this contract. It is our intention to go to camp with you as our one. But you know we're going to draft a quarterback. Anything can happen. That way you look at Andy Dalton, and Andy Dalton's been in this league for better than a decade, and Andy Dalton looks at the situation and feels confident that whatever happens, he's going to have a chance to compete and probably going to be the starter on week one. Oh, by the way, he's going to cash a $10 million check as well. Like, I find it really difficult to believe that part of the sales pitch was a firm guarantee that he was going to be the starter in week one. And if it was that way, I think that's a poor way to do your business because things can happen.
I would like to do this tomorrow. I'm going to do that tomorrow if I can here when he speaks around 1. If it's before the show, I'm going to be here. I'm going to raise my virtual hand, and I'm going to ask directly.
Will they see it, or you want to put like a
big
club on top
of it? It's really small. When I raise my virtual hand, it comes up. You could barely see it on the computer screen.
By the way, the other thing I was going to say before I forget, what you heard Albert Breer discuss about Justin Fields is one of the reasons why you drafted him and everyone feels good about him. That he is one of these guys that comes in and his aura is a positive one. It's you feel comfortable, you feel calm, there's leadership ability there, and it's good to hear, but it's not unexpected from
my
perspective.
Right, right. And it's really, and now
again,
he's got
to prove that he can play.
He's got it, right. Like with Mitch, we said he was a good kid. He cared and everything, but he had to play.
Not surprised, though, to hear the positive things that Albert's also an Ohio State grad. But, you know, I'm not going to say that's the reason why.
Oh, really?
And no, I'm just telling you, Albert presented to us was part of the selling point package coming from the draft about Justin Fields.
Congrats to Chris Ahern. He's halfway there. He has qualified for the City Connect White Sox jersey. We have 2 more qualifiers, and of the 4 qualifiers, we will pick 1 name at the end of the show, and that person will win the City Connect. So we'll qualify someone else in the 4 o'clock hour. If you want to weigh in, 312-332-3776. Waddle's World is coming up, and at 4 o'clock, a lot of fun with the good, the bad, the dirty.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird.
Welcome to Waddle's World. Come inside.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird. Weird. Get weird. Weird. Get weird.
Yeah, let's get weird. Waddle's World brought to you by our great partners at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit wintrust.com/findus, member FDIC. I got a couple sports rude things to bring to your attention. First, NBA playoffs tonight. You've got the Hawks and the Sixers. Who you got? Quick.
Sixers tonight.
Okay.
Yeah, the Sixers bounce. And Embiid played really well in that game. Atlanta's not going to take two on Philadelphia's floor.
Chris, Adam, you guys got a strong thought?
Yeah, I'll roll with the Sixers. I agree. Although the Hawks have been fun to watch, but I would imagine that they're going to bounce back tonight. Okay. Better defense, I would assume.
Adam?
I'll say the Hawks.
Okay. Excellent. So this has caused some controversy, right?
Did you hear some of these young statistics from these two young stars? Trae Young, I heard this on the broadcast yesterday,
Young
right here
Doncic,
on ESPN 1000. Trae Young and Devin Booker.
Devin Booker, okay.
So this is Trae Young is the first player, the second player in NBA history to average 30 or more points in his first four road playoff games. The only other guy was Lew Alcindor, who then became Kareem Abdul-Jabbar early in his career. Devin Booker is the first player in NBA, or the second player in NBA history since Lew Alcindor, to score 30 points or more in his first four playoff games overall since Lew Alcindor. These two guys,
the leagues have
done
hands.
They have done something that only Kareem has done. It's incredible.
It is. The league's in good hands, and what Luka Doncic did as well was
so
remarkable.
Much fun. I'm going to miss him.
It's interesting, though, the Suns are the Suns, and they were on the incline. Obviously, we saw that in the bubble last year. But the difference that a guy like Chris Paul makes is immeasurable, isn't it? Like, it really is. I mean, it's unbelievable. And isn't the thought that he may stick with the Suns next year as well, that he may decide to come back?
He's under contract. I think there was a story last week suggesting he's going to...
Yeah. It's like for a high amount of money he's on.
Yeah, he's
going to
opt out of his player option, but that's because he could sign a new deal. And you know, most of these superstars in the league, it's become this flexible year-by-year deal anyway. Like, not many of them are signing multiple-year deals for a long, extended period of time in one place. So I think it's likely, especially if they go to the conference finals, that he stays in Phoenix. But
unbelievable. When he's healthy, like...
I had a couple of Bulls conversation with fans yesterday. Some of the best Bulls conversations we've had in months, because I told them, I go, look, the Bulls were so unwatchable late in the year. It's really been tough. And I'm sort of on the, I always used to be, why sign a 34-year-old point guard with a young rebuilding team? It's time to find a point guard to grow with them. But maybe now I'm more open to getting a more veteran point guard and bringing him in with this team if he's the right guy. Like, Connelly's got some issues staying healthy.
He's out for tonight's game, like, game one with the Clippers with a hamstring.
And I believe he's a free agent. Like, would you be willing to sign a guy like that to make the other young players better, to make Patrick Williams better, to make Vooch and Zach better?
I don't know that he'll have the Paul effect, but will have a positive effect, somebody like that.
He made the All-Star game this year.
Yes, he did.
My initial response to that idea would be just be careful that, you know, the expectations aren't that we'll see what Chris Paul is doing.
There's only one Chris Paul.
Like, you don't want to get stuck in it. Like, I know they made the playoffs, but But you don't want to get stuck in a Russell Westbrook situation where now it's Russ and these random pieces and LaVine, and really you're not getting anywhere. Like, yeah, Chris Paul, it's been fantastic. Mike Conley, I would pass on that. But he's going to be a name that's going to be out there, and I think Bulls fans are interested.
I'm just more open to it now because I'm tired of not having a point guard. Like, ideally, I wish they would find a young point guard who's good, who can score, and who can grow with this group. But the problem is, when I watch Satoransky and the collection of point guards that they've had, it only makes the team worse.
Chris Paul has the tangibles and the intangibles. Hall of Famer. So that's kind of it's a singular situation.
I'm going to quiz you guys later on the odds for Damian Lillard.
Okay.
There are odds on who will trade for Damian Lillard, and that story is really coming into focus here.
The other story here, ranking the NFL's best head coaches ahead of the 2021 season. This is courtesy of Pro Football Focus.
Okay, let's see here. I haven't seen this list.
Okay, well, they only go 1 through 7.
So I'm going to still say Bill Belichick's number one.
Bill Belichick is not number one.
Then I'm going to go Andy Reid number one.
Andy Reid is number one. Bill Belichick is number six.
Well, how could that be? I know they didn't win last year. How could Bill Belichick be the sixth best coach in the NFL? How could who wrote this list?
It's Pro Football Focus.
How do they judge analytically?
Coach's ability to get more wins out of his team than wins above replacement of their roster, their ability to win games by multiple scores, as well as lose relatively few games by multiple scores, and fourth down decision all factored into these rankings.
Sean Payton.
Did you get that? Payton comes in at number five.
Number five. So Payton's five, and two Hall of Famers, 5 and 6.
Yes, that is correct.
John Harbaugh.
John Harbaugh is number two.
Number two.
Yes.
There you go.
Okay, that's it. That's all. Sorry. Matt LaFleur is number three. Sean McDermott of the Bills,
LaFleur number
four. Number
three after just 2 years on the job.
Head coaches are generally out of the spotlight until week one hits, but let's bring them into the fold. In ranking the top head coaches heading into the 2021 season below, the criteria were quantitative. But unlike with offensive and defensive play callers, they were not folded into one all-encompassing rating system for betting or fantasy the way each side of the ball is. The reasons for this are the relatively stochastic nature of fourth down decisions, close games, and other small sample events.
Where's Mike Tomlin? Is he on the list?
Mike Tomlin, I do not believe, is on the list.
I mean, like, how can Mike Tomlin not?
Let me give you the list 1 to 7. The reason I was reading this was I wanted to see where you thought Coach Nagy would fall. What's that?
Wait, I thought this is the top what?
Again, nonetheless, a coach's ability to get more wins out of his team than wins above replacement of their roster, their ability to win games by multiple scores and fourth down decisions all factored into these rankings.
So wait, are these 1 through 32? So Nagy is
there's
is
only
rated?
One thing ranked him 1 through 7. Nagy doesn't officially have a ranking. I'm asking you where you would put him.
I would put
him. Let me give you the 7 first. Andy Reid is first. John Harbaugh second. Matt LaFleur is third. Sean McDermott is number 4. We've started the first 4. They all have fantastic quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Number 5 is Sean Payton. Number 6 is Bill Belichick. Number 7 is Kevin Stefanski of the Cleveland Browns.
Okay. Well, he had a good rookie year. To put him on.
Where would you place? Let's just take Pro Football Focus as their rankings were, how they came to Jesus in terms of their football rankings. Where would you put him?
He is not better than Brian Flores in Miami. I'm going by division here. We already talked
he's
about
got a better record than Brian Flores. He's
not
better win percentage.
No, he's not better than Brian Flores.
Okay,
he's not a better coach. He's a better coach than the former Packer coach in Dallas right now,
Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, better than the Giants coach, better than the Eagles coach, not better than Rivera in Washington. I would have him somewhere around 20. I think he's like at the top of the bottom third.
Former NFL coach of the year is now finds himself in the bottom third.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you said they're being judged on fourth down decisions.
A lot of different
and
stuff.
And blowout wins and stuff.
I think he has, guess what he has a chance to do? Change the narrative.
He does.
I would agree with you. I would expect him to be in the bottom half.
He's not
of this.
Better than McVay. Your guy's not even on the list.
Shanny?
Your favorite coach in the National Football League didn't even make the top
offensive
seven.
Mind,
He was in the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Listen, this is Pro Football Focus's list. This isn't my list. But if you went through it, is he better than McDermott? No. Is he better than Bill Belichick, no.
He's not better than Mike Vrabel in Tennessee. You know, there are a lot of guys we can go through here.
Yeah, so I would put him conservatively in the bottom half.
He's not better than Bruce Arians.
No.
So, I mean, like, we've gone... I listed 15 coaches already.
I said conservatively in the bottom half.
Him and Zim are around the same spot, all right? You want a comp? Zim. Zim is defensive Matt Nagy.
Do you know what would elevate him?
Winning.
And developing a quarterback. Justin Fields. Yeah. That's what would develop him.
20th, all right? Is that bad?
Okay, I mean, I said bottom half, so somewhere between 17 and 32. I don't think he's bottom, five, I would say. Would you say 20?
20, like he's at the top of the bottom third, somewhere around there, like the bottom
of the... With a chance to change your opinion of him going forward.
Yeah, of course, always. Yeah. These 3 years have totally...
Been to the playoffs two of the last 3 years.
They've been roller coasters. Look, I was all in the first year.
I'll go 18. I'm going to say 18. Chris, where you at real quick?
The first number that came to mind was 22.
Okay.
Without looking through each and every team, I'm guessing that you're right, bottom third.
We didn't mention Pete Carroll, another guy.
Okay, let me ask you this. Who's better, John Gruden or Matt Nagy?
John Gruden.
He's got a better resume.
Is he? Or is he just more famous? He was on TV, he's more famous. And he won a Super Bowl.
I think at this point you still got to give Gruden the nod because of his resume.
Yeah. He hasn't made the playoffs, right? Nagy's made the playoffs twice.
Yeah, two out of three times.
Right?
Adam, where you got him?
I'm not putting him. I mean, the resume doesn't matter to me with Gruden because he was out for so long and then came back. Like that. That doesn't matter to me. I'm saying bottom 10.
Bottom 10.
Yeah,
okay.
Bottom 10.
So that's where you're right. Where
bottom third. Yeah, bottom third.
I think I said 18.
Cuddy has got a number
five. You say 18, we keep naming coaches that are better than him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
We got a better coach in the Lions, right? So there's one.
Yes.
Yeah.
We got a better coach than how many other teams?
Like the Philly, the new Nick guy in Philly.
Random dude in Philly.
Random dude.
Sirianni.
So that guy. So we got two.
Matt Rhule, do you like Matt? I mean, I like Matt Rhule, but Matt Rhule hasn't done anything.
He was great in college.
But this isn't college.
He's better than the goofball in Detroit, right?
So we got two. All right, I'll give you Rhule. So there's three.
Look, Arthur Smith. We don't know Arthur Smith in Atlanta. What he's going to do?
Vic Fangio.
Yeah, he's better than Vic Fangio.
Yeah. Really?
He's better than Vic Fangio.
Who was responsible for more Bears wins in 2018, Matt Nagy or Vic Fangio?
I know, but you give the head coach credit because he's in the head coaching seat. I'm just saying.
Who's the guy, Zach Taylor,
the Bengals? Who's got the Jets now? Robert Saleh?
He's probably.
Not yet. Yeah. You got to say Matt. I know we're down on him right now.
Congratulations, Matt Nagy. You're better than all the new coaches. Yeah.
We're right to like eight.
Guess what?
Boom, 22.
Again, guess what? He's got the opportunity to change the narrative. We come back and bring you the nutty story.
I like that list. That was a good list.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
Not nice at all.
Stop.
You are not nice.
Oh, you watch yourself. Got some interesting stories for you here. This was an interesting conversation a little bit earlier. Couple used playground as tunnel of love. Police caught duo having sex inside a park's crawling tunnel.
Oh, that's terrible for all the kids that go in there.
It's dated June 8th, but happens to be my official 30th wedding anniversary. Been married for 30 years now.
Oh, it's interesting. Today is your anniversary.
Yes.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. Responding to a 9:10 a.m. tip about a couple doing the thing in a Florida park, a patrolman discovered a man performing a sex act with his girlfriend within the children's crawling tunnel.
Get out of the kids'
park. At Pocahontas Park in Vero Beach.
Yeah, I bet. A little poking going on.
Whoa, wait a second. Oh, yeah. Ask what they were doing. Finley told the cop the couple was making out. That's what the woman said. The man said this.
You can't read that.
Oh, that is unbelievable, which led Abdallah to say, what was your question? Where is the strangest place you've ever made
the
whoopee?
Screwball peanut butter whiskey, the nuttiest story, if you will.
That wasn't even it. This wasn't even the nuttiest story. I got another one for you.
Okay, all right. Well, I figured that one was nutty.
It is, but the language being used by one of the perpetrators is just not good.
So I wanted to know, what's the weirdest place you've done it?
The weirdest or the
weirdest
like,
or the
Mile High Club right here.
Definitely not in the kids' crawling tube on a playground.
Stop.
Yeah.
How, where, when, who?
It was 2000. It was the end of the Bears season in December. It was on the trip to San Francisco to cover the Bears for this radio station, and I just met a new girlfriend
on
at the time.
On the company dime.
A month earlier, and it was a big snowstorm, so the flights got messed up, and I turned and I had miles, and I looked at her, and I said, you want to go to San Francisco? And she said, yes. So I took her to San Francisco, and we had the whole plan where she would enter the bathroom first. And then
you had this all planned out.
All planned out. And then I would knock on that door, and then she would unlock it.
Are you okay in there?
And she would unlock it, and then we went.
Sir, are you okay?
So I'm in, look, 20-year member.
Is it illegal now? Was it illegal then?
It's always been illegal.
It's not illegal. What do you mean illegal? You're illegal for what? You're arrested for what? It's like jaywalking.
I don't think it's like jaywalking. Jaywalking is walking across the street at the wrong time.
Dude, you should get a handshake for that.
Least a company policy.
I think that's illegal.
So when you
especially
exit
now,
the bathroom.
Yeah.
Like what?
Toilet used as a little bit of a helping.
No. That's not what I'm asking. I don't care.
What?
I don't care about what happened during those magical.
Okay, what's the question?
Those magical 2 minutes.
So we had a whole thing set up where if we would walk out. Is this the question? Like,
yeah,
and they
the
would
plane
say,
is this? Because most bathrooms on planes these days are
small. So
tiny.
That's why
and
we had to
right
do
there
some fiddling around.
Had to do what? Some what?
We had to do some Rubik's cubing, or like it was like Tetris. Maybe is a better.
You're
going to
be sleeping in the basement.
So this was in 2000. This was 21 years ago. We had the whole thing where I was going to say my girlfriend was sick. She was very nauseous and sick, and she needed my help in the bathroom to make sure that she was okay.
I can't say the joke. I'll tell you in the break.
I got to let you read this story as well. Yeah. There's no doubt that this is the nuttiest story of the day anyway. Brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, Night with Screwball.
And it's bound to get a little bit
even
nutty.
From 30,000.
Never. Never in there. No.
Okay, but come on. It's your wedding anniversary. Reminisce.
No, I'm trying to think. Take me some time.
AAU soccer game?
What, right there on the middle of the field when they, you know, like
on the
overtime
pitch.
On the pitch,
the Partridge soccer field,
yeah,
where the
no
Dirty Birds,
Hallis Hall,
no,
like it's a ludicrous song.
I'm gonna have to think about that. I'll get back to you.
30-year anniversary, yeah. It's kind of tough to say that on your 30th wedding anniversary.
But I don't I have to remember. I'm not saying
with anybody else.
What is your answers?
Huh? The back of a Volkswagen?
Okay.
No, I'll give you this. What was the story? Where were they at? They were in
a crawling tunnel at a children's
in the
playground.
You've done the playground thing.
Yeah.
You know, you can, when you do stuff like that on a playground, you can become like.
Okay, well, maybe it didn't happen then. I don't know.
Well, it did or it didn't.
There's not kids around in the middle of the night.
No,
at least there shouldn't be.
Do you, like.
Late at night, Waddle, what do you think is going on
We're
here?
We're up against the clock. Right. I said clock.
We're good on everything?
I think so, yeah.
Okay,
yeah, that was ended up being the nuttiest story today.
We handled the dirty in the good, the bad,
yeah,
the dirty.
We
But we're going to give you a bonus dirty. It's the good, the bad, the
you
dirty.
You said bonus, right?
Yes, it's we're all back together. We weren't on the air. Brian Hanley and Fred Huebner did a great job holding it down. We'll go through our long weekend recap coming up next.